This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening. I was not here last weekend because my wife and daughter and I, along with my brother and his family, went to visit our mom, who this week turned 90 years old. And we spent all of last weekend together with her and some other relatives and had a little birthday celebration for her. And it was very, very nice. I actually went a day before the rest of the family just to have some alone time with my mom. And one of the things that we did at her insistence was go over paperwork that may become important in the next few years. She's a healthy person now, but she's 90 years old. And so there are end of life issues that need to be discussed. And she's got all the paperwork, including the advanced medical directive and the living will and all of that. And one of the things that we've talked about, not just now, but many times in the last decade or so, is that when she does get to a point where she's in a hospital and really, really ill and machines are essentially keeping her alive, that she does not want doctors to use extraordinary measures to keep her alive just for the sake of keeping her alive. That after 9 decades on this planet, that she will be, ready to have it end if her body gives out and things get to that horrible point. That's a discussion that not enough Americans have. But after reading a story by my next guest this week, I was upset to find out that a lot of doctors don't pay attention to their patients' desires when it comes to things like a DNR, a do not resuscitate order. Dr. Russell Saunders is a pediatrician in New England who wrote that story and joins me now to talk about it. Dr. Saunders, welcome to America Weekend.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Do you find that a lot of people, A, aren't even having those discussions with their family members, and B, would be as upset as I was to read what you wrote this week about DNRs?
I think that not enough people have those conversations. I think it's an incredibly important conversation for, frankly, for everybody to have, not just as they approach the end of their life, but really, you never know what's going to happen next in your life. And so it's important that people who love you and care about you and are involved in your life know what your wishes would be, regardless of how old you are or how healthy you are. So I think it's a conversation that everybody needs to have, and not enough people do. As far as how upset people would be if those decisions and those wishes were overridden, I imagine that justifiably most people would be quite upset. These are very important decisions. These are things that strike deeply to what it means to have quality of life. And so I think that it's incredibly important that those wishes be honored. And obviously, if they're not, then that would be quite upsetting.
Why don't doctors follow the DNR orders?
You know, I think that it's a very difficult question to answer, and I think that there are probably a lot of things that go into it. Quite frankly, I think that the first problem is that massive intervention, you know, being as aggressive as possible, is the default setting. That's what you are going to opt to do unless there is clarity to do otherwise. And so I think that because that is what people sort of are programmed to expect or programmed to do, that's just what people are going to do. I also think that a lot of it is that when you have somebody who's dying, they may lack the capacity to be there to justify their own decisions or to defend their own decisions. And so I think that physicians fear making, you know, the ultimate and irrevocable clinical decision to let somebody go, because the people that are left behind may then second-guess that decision. And I think that they fear repercussions if they aren't viewed as doing enough. And so I think that there is fear of consequence later on. And obviously the person whose DNR order it was isn't there to justify or defend the choice anymore.
So if we were in that situation with my mom, if she got to that point and I were there, would I have to argue with a doctor to get what my mom wanted? How would that work?
I think that that's going to depend incredibly on where you are. The study that I referenced in the article showed a lot of regional variability, and so it kind of depends on where you are and what the local attitudes are, which is obviously quite unfortunate. There should be consistent respect for these wishes no matter where you are, but unfortunately it does vary. I think that the more clarity, the more discussion that can be had with the medical care providers as early as possible and as frequently as possible can help avoid that. When I heard some feedback about the piece, Many people said that that wasn't their experience and that the DNR orders were quite well respected, but plenty of other people gave me feedback that, that what I wrote about was their experience as well, that their loved ones' wishes weren't honored and that they did have to argue in order to see them followed through. And that's obviously not an acceptable state of affairs. Hopefully you wouldn't need to argue. That's really not how things ought to be. But having consistency among all family members and loved ones is an important part of making sure those wishes are respected.
Oh, absolutely. You mentioned the default setting being trying to save that person's life, which I guess goes back to the part of the Hippocratic Oath that says, first, do no harm.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what we do in medicine is we try to fix things. We try to make people better. And we try to preserve functioning, even if that functioning is largely or entirely artificial. And so not intervening is sort of contrary to the way we view things. It's contrary to the ethos of medicine, if you will. And so stepping back and letting a patient go is just not consistent with how we are programmed to function within the healthcare environment.
You know that there are cynics listening to us now who are saying, hey, you're leaving out the money part of this, because after all, if you keep the person alive, you can keep charging them all those hospital fees and the medical fees and the doctors and the nurses and everybody else. The longer that person stays alive, the more money they're going to make.
You know, I would be naive to deny that that's any part of how this plays out. I think that there is some element to that, and I would, I'm not going to pretend like nobody makes those decisions based upon that kind of consideration. I do think that that's really not as big a factor as a cynic might think. And I think that that's going to change regardless. I think that more and more in our country, an emphasis on limiting healthcare costs is going to become more important, and so physicians aren't going to have an incentive to do these expensive interventions. But really, I don't think that most physicians who would override a DNR are doing so because it benefits them financially. Again, perhaps I'm somewhat idealistic in my views of the profession, but I think that most of them do it because they don't have clarity about the wishes, or they feel like it's still, for some reason, in the patient's best interest to provide those interventions.
You also mentioned the fear of being accused of not doing everything you could to save somebody's life. But if you have that piece of paper, look right here, it says, do not resuscitate. And I was following the patient's desires and those of the family members. That's why I unplugged that, because end-of-life decisions are made every single day in hospitals around this country.
When I published the piece, one of the people I heard from was one of my best friends who is an ICU nurse. And she described her experience to me where any time a patient is getting toward the end of their life, it's just sort of the routine to talk about alternatives that may be available, that interventions that could still be done are still an option. And oftentimes family members, when it's offered to them, will opt to go with that, even if it's contrary to the patient's desires. So, again, what I referenced before is the lack of capacity on the part of the actual patient to stand up for those decisions. Oftentimes the patient can no longer speak for him or herself. And then the people making the decisions are loved ones who may have a harder time with letting the patient go.
Yeah. Yeah. But by the way, I mentioned that those decisions are made every single day in hospitals around this country and hospices as well. That's why I was so upset several years ago when Sarah Palin started that whole death panel thing, not realizing that while there are already people making these decisions, the fact that she imposed the concept of the government in there, that lie about it, really muddied the waters about this discussion, didn't it?
It made it just that much more difficult. This is an incredibly complex and important issue that everybody needs to be discussing. And to poison that kind of dialogue with really politicized, inflammatory rhetoric did nobody any favors.
I've only got about 30 seconds left here, Doctor. You're a pediatrician. I'm guessing that DNR orders for children are rare. Have you had to deal with them, though?
Every so often. It is quite rare, and it's one of the nice things about being a pediatrician. But, you know, every so often it happens. And even for kids, it can be difficult when the DNR has been decided to still follow through on that. It's challenging for everyone.
Well, this is a terrific piece. I'll put a link to it on the America Weekend Facebook page and on my own website, harrisonline.com. Thank you for writing it and alerting people to this. And it's yet another part of the discussion they need to have within their families and with their own physicians to make sure that things are clear, because the end of the life, when things are really, really bad, is not a time to begin this conversation. Thank you so much for joining me, Doctor.
It was a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
That's Dr. Russell Saunders, who's a pediatrician in New England. You can find the link to that on the America Weekend Facebook page right now. America Weekend.